it's really hard when people don't realize how demeaning it is. I needed to tell them, it's really demeaning. It is meant to be demeaning. It is done on purpose to demean. If a person can't call you by a derogatory name, they will stop you. And that's when these officers probably use all kinds of descriptions that are politically incorrect by any standard, but they can't say those publicly, but they can stop you and there's nothing you can do. And I needed to express the utter humiliation and helplessness that one has when it occurs.
Take us into the car with you. You're driving. You see the flashing lights in your rearview mirror. What are you telling yourself as you pull over, getting ready to talk to the police officer?
You can tell when somebody's going to pull you over. You can feel it. There is a behavior of acceleration, deceleration, pulling you behind your car. It is not the normal. There's a way in which police officers are really, really good, and who are not into racial bias policing, maintain what we call safety distances from your car. And they have to do that because they don't know if you're going to slam on your brakes because a kid running in front of your car or a cat or a dog. When an officer is intent on pulling you over, there is no question you know what's going to happen. You can look right at it. You can feel it.
Over time, as these stops continued, did you find yourself rehearsing certain things in your mind? What would you tell yourself as you were getting ready to have that conversation with the officer?
Well, it's their domain. You know, it's really interesting. People say, how do you feel? And what are you going to do? You're going to complain? Who are you going to complain to? It's a police officer. They need to control the situation they're in. They're going to control it. You know that. There's nothing you can do about it. And you just try it. You're irritated. You know what's going on. They know you know what's going on. You know you're angry. There's nothing you can do about the anger. But you're helpless, and it is better not to get into an argument with the officer.
Is that your goal, to not get into an argument?
My goal is not to get angry and argue. That escalates, and that gets you into even more trouble. So it is better just to avoid it.
How do you do that? How do you stop yourself from getting angry in that kind of situation?
Self-control. You know, the issue of an interaction with a person who is making a racially biased move against you, whether it's in employment, whether it's in education, whether it's in an automobile, you don't want to give person cause. So you learn to put up with it. And so you develop coping skills for it. And so, you know, it's not just in policing. It's in a variety of situations where you will encounter it. And, you know, my parents were civil rights activists in Spokane. So I watched how they handle it. And it's a coping skill. You learn to remain in self-control. So I just, for whatever reasons, whenever I've been stopped, just remained in control. You get angry and you're really mad. Really angry because it's humiliating. A stop means you're not in control. Yeah, all of us want to control our life. And we don't want it taken away from us or stripped from us for something that we didn't do. And a stop, like the ones I went through, had one purpose, which was to strip away any dignity, sense of self-control that I had. That's why they do that.
What did you learn from watching your parents as you were growing up in Spokane?
Self-control. Hey, when I grew up in Spokane, I joke now about it. I said I was called so many names. People used to drive in front of our house and call us names. I said I didn't even know my last name was Sims because it happened so often. But I think through the bulk of my parents' life, they didn't react to it. We watched them get through this. I think they wanted to be a shield between the person who was being disparaging, the person who was yelling at them, the person who was denigrating them, and their kids. But it was, you watched it and you saw it. When I got older, I just thought my parents were, you know, perfect, loved them very, very much, sacrificed a lot. And I just remember in these encounters, always be the one with self-control. And interesting, years later, my father had a stroke, and the portion of his brain that demanded the control dissipated. And he could have emotional outbursts, but not angrily, just start crying over something that had happened during that period of time. So we realized the intensity, the indignity that was taking place. And because he no longer his emotional control elements in his brain were affected by his stroke, there were times he would just break down. It made him more human to me, though. It was really interesting. I admired all that he did and all that he controlled, that personal control that he had. And we were being given glimpses of it, how painful it was.
Did you feel you'd had a chance to see him unfiltered?
That's my best way to describe it. Unfiltered. Yeah. That's very good description. We always wonder how could he put up with it? That was the interesting thing. When you're a kid, you don't put up with it. You know, it was a kid who called us names and very derogatory names.
Were there a few scuffles?
We changed some minds, some approaches. That's the best way to put it. My twin brother and I, we were not as tolerant of the verbal indignities. The nonverbal indignities. I think we just, my twin brother moved to Oakland, California and never wanted to come back here and didn't. And I moved to Seattle out of our hometown, which I think was the best decision that he and I made, our respective, was to get away from it. Not that either community was perfect, but they did not have some of the old habits and the old customs and the features of our childhood.
Let me take you back to being in the car and doing the pullover.
Yeah.
Did you ever get a ticket in any of those times the SPD pulled you over?
I wasn't speeding. I had no defective equipment. The last one I did, I had a headlight out, but I just assumed that after running my plates and taking my license, he'd just say, get your headlight fixed. He never said that. After running my plates and running my license and telling me I wasn't speeding, it was my headlight, he asked me where I was going. And all the cases I had, that was always a feature. Do you live here and where are you going? And my mind just ran through this. It was like, you ran my plates, you ran my license, I wasn't speeding, my headlights out, and now you're asking me where I was going. So I blurted out, I'm going to get a cup of coffee. And because I was on my way to a coffee shop to get 2 pounds of Arabian mocha java ground for cone. And I drove away. I was going, I cannot believe this. This is a January 2nd. It's an early morning stop, probably 10 to 7. But I separated that from my others. And of the 8, 7 of them, not speeding, not a signal issue, not an infraction issue, not a automobile light out or anything. It was just a pure stop.
Was there a point over the years as these stops were happening that you thought to yourself, this is happening because I'm black?
Oh, I knew it. I was happening for my black from my first stop.
From the first stop?
Oh, you know it, yeah. I grew up in Spokane. It happened to people. You grow up knowing it's going to happen. You're going to get stopped. And especially if you know you're not speeding and there's nothing wrong with your car. You know.
You became King County Executive.
Yes.
You had a conversation with your security detail about this. Yeah. They gave you instructions for what to do if a police officer pulled you over. What did they tell you to do?
They said, when you're stopped, pull over. If it's in the evening, turn on your overhead light so that the officer who's behind you can see everything that you're doing. So there's no question about whether the officer who's in behind you can see what you're doing in the car. He said, reach over and take your papers out of your glove compartment and put them on the dashboard. reach in your wallet, take out your driver's license and your insurance card, and put that on the dashboard, roll down your window, and put both hands on the wheel. So I did.
And what did you think of those instructions when you heard them?
They were smart. You know, if you look at nationally what's happened, the shootings in cars and the escalation was because people either got angry or the officer said, I didn't know what the person was doing. Both hands on the wheel of your car with everything that they are lawfully entitled to get on your dashboard. So they always see your hands in reach. I think is absolutely critical. And never, no matter how, it's demeaning. So let's just accept the fact that to be stopped for no reason is really demeaning. And there's nothing you can do about it. The issue is do not get angry about it and voice, because you lose. Because the officer can, by law, can control the environment they're in. There's nothing you can do about it. And the issue is be really smart. So that's what I did. You get used to it after a while, so I just got another one. And then when I got stopped on the way to the coffee shop, I did that same thing. Turned the overhead light on because it was still in the morning. Registration on the dashboard, license, insurance card on the dashboard, both hands on the wheel and window down.
Someone might be listening to this and they might be thinking, you know, it's never fun to be pulled over by the cops, but if you don't get a ticket... Seriously, what's the big deal? What is it that we're not getting about that?
It's not a traffic stop. Let's get the record straight. You're not speeding. You do not have a defective automobile. It is not a traffic stop. We put it in that category because that's what the action is if you have a defective equipment and you're speeding.
But you're saying that's not what really is going on.
No, it isn't. It's not designed to that. It's designed to humiliate, period. I mean, come on. You seem to be acting angrily on it because I saw people say, well, it's just a traffic stop. What's wrong with a traffic stop? I've had seven of them without any tickets at all, and one because of a headlight out, so I've never gotten a ticket. And I just shake my head. This is not a traffic stop. It's a procedure. And when you're an African American, you know it. And people should understand that people of color go through this. And it's a crock.
We are talking about race relations in this country in a way I don't remember for many years. Where do you think we are right now in our national conversation?
You know, the curtain got pulled back and it was time to have this discussion. This is still, in my opinion, the best place in the world to live. But we have this myth that we have reconciled racial issues here, and we haven't.
Here in Seattle, in the Pacific
here
Northwest.
Here in Seattle, in Keene County, in the Pacific Northwest, and we haven't.
Ron Sims, we started out talking about why you felt the need to share your experience on Facebook. You ended that post with part of the poem, A Dream Deferred by Langston Hughes. I'd like to end our conversation with part of that poem as well. Would you read that for us?
Does it dry up like a raisin in the sun, or fester like a sore and then run? Does it stink like rotten meat, or crust and sugar over like a syrupy sweet? Maybe it just sags like a heavy load.